Some years ago, when I was living in Richmond, I think it must have been during my first year of seminary, I drove to Charlottesville to have lunch with a friend. I'm going to call him Steve for the sake of this story. That's not his name. It just amuses me to call him that. Steve was one of my best friends at UVA, and I think this lunch must have been during my first year of seminary. Shortly after I moved back from Northern Ireland, because otherwise there weren't many gaps where we wouldn't have spoken to each other for a while, and I remember this being a catch-up lunch. Somehow, during the course of our conversation, we ended up talking about religion, as one does when one is in seminary, and I admitted that I assume most people I meet are, in fact, not Christian. I did not, for example, consider Steve to be a Christian. And I wasn't saying this to insult him. I was not seeing this as necessarily a bad thing. I do not believe that God is as wrapped up in our own religious and sectarian squabbles as we are. Much like I imagine the parents of siblings don't particularly care what team name the kids choose as long as they're playing reasonably nicely. But Steve was appalled. How dare I think that he was not a Christian. I asked him what evidence I should use to make that judgment. And he seemed to think being a white man from Virginia was sufficient. He told me he'd been baptized. He grew up going to the church. And when he went back to visit his parents, we were in our early 20s at this time, he went to church with them. I don't know if I had the courage to tell him. I like to imagine I had the courage to say, "So your parents are Christian and you humor them." I've known you for 5 years. We lived together for one of those years. In all that time, time during which I was a religious studies major, time during which you saw me set out to read the Bible cover to cover in a semester, a time during which I started to publicly articulate my call to ministry, a time when I applied and then went to serve as a missionary in Northern Ireland, a time when I applied to and then enrolled in seminary. In other words, a time in which you can hardly say the subject didn't come up. This was the first time Steve ever spoke to me about his faith, even though we had talked plenty about mine. Steve did not volunteer anywhere. He did not give money in support of Christian or other charitable causes. He did not, to the best of my knowledge, even following this conversation, so much as have a Bible in his home. He considered himself a Christian on the strength of having been baptized and enjoying Christmas. And since we celebrated a baptism today, I need to say that yes, baptism is important. It is an essential mark of joining the church. It is one of two sacraments in the Presbyterian tradition, one of two rituals that we consider essential to the Christian life. But they alone do not make a Christian. Ryan, I don't think this is going to be a surprise to you. Now that Savannah has been baptized, your work is not done. Savannah's baptism is not the end of her journey. It's not the end of anything. It is the beginning of her journey with all of us. With all of those in this room, with all of those who are watching us on Zoom, with all of those who are watching this video later, and with untold numbers of other people, some of whom may not be known to anyone in this room, but who will cross her path and be an influence on her life in the months and years to come. We've already talked about this some. I, of course, said the words during the baptism, and Gail and John Dan have brought them forward again, but I want to bring forward one more time that today we asked nothing of Savannah. We asked four questions, yes, to Marianne and to Ryan, because they, as her parents, will be the biggest influences in her life. And we asked two questions of everyone here. Do you, as members of the Church of Jesus Christ, promise to guide and nurture Savannah by word and deed with love and prayer? Will you encourage her to know and follow Christ and to be faithful members of the church? Friends, today we have not only heard the word, but we have ourselves spoken words. So how much more then do we need to hear and remember the words from James' letter to the early church? Be doers of the word and not merely hearers who deceive themselves. For if any are hearers of the word and not doers, they are like those who look at themselves in a mirror. For they do look at themselves and, on going away, immediately forget what they are like. How many other Steves do we think are out there? It's easy to think like Steve, to have a vague notion that having been baptized and occasionally attending church means that we have accepted Jesus into our hearts without then demonstrating any of that transformation, without demonstrating in our own lives God's love for the world. How easy it might be to think that that is sufficient, but friends, it is not. This is clearly not a new phenomenon. Clearly there have long been Steves, because if not, James, the brother of Jesus, would not have needed to write to the early church about those other cultural Christians, about those who hear the word and do not do the word, those who hear the word and are not transformed, those who come perhaps to the community, who come to church for an hour or so on Sunday morning and then do all they can to make sure it does not intrude upon the rest of their week. Friends, I hope that you have not come here today. I hope that you do not come here just so that you can feel good about yourselves. Just to have a glance in the mirror, check in, say everything looks great, and then go home. I know that some of us might like looking in the mirror more than others. Many of you may like looking in the mirror more than me. I am not fond of this gray. But I hope that we can be honest with ourselves, that we can acknowledge that there is always something that we do not like, and that when we are coming together as a body, it is not so that we may just check in, everything's great, go home, but so that we can together see and acknowledge the blemishes in our lives, so that we may not forget, but that we may seek together always to be doers of the word and not merely hearers. Friends, I have seen in Savannah's eyes already that she is learning from everything happening around her. I pray that as she grows in this community of faith, that she will grow in a community that does not only speak, but acts according to the word and love of God. Friends, we are setting an example for Savannah, whether we like it or not. So let us pray that it will be an example we like. Amen.